our hunger for your word. We ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
So, everybody's staying in here this morning. We're going to kick Kids Rock back off next week, okay? So, kids, if you want to scooch next to somebody with a Bible, get your own copy of God's Word and pull it out. We're going to 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I need to get there too. I forgot to mark my Bible this morning. There we go. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Hope that everyone had a good Christmas. And I hope even if you didn't, that today's going well for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a word to the church, an encouraging word to the church. We've been talking about the fact that Jesus came to us through his birth. That's what we've been celebrating, right? Christmas. Jesus coming, him putting on flesh, and coming to be with us, to go through what Jesus did while he was here. He lived a perfect life. He did not sin. You and I have sinned in various ways. My sin looks different than yours, and yours looks may look different from everybody else's in this room, but the bottom line is all of us have disobeyed God in some shape, form, or another. And because of that, we deserve death. But Jesus came to us. Most other religions, it's about man making their way to God. If you're not a Christian, please hear me when I say this. Other religions, it's about men getting to God. But Christianity is about God coming to men. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So Jesus came and he lived a perfect life, sinless. He was tempted in every way we are, but he did not sin at all. The Bible teaches us that because of our sin we deserve death, but Jesus died in our place on the cross. He didn't deserve it because he had not sinned, but he died in our place on the cross. The reason he did that is because he loves us. Whether you believe it or not, he loves you. And he did that for you. 3 days later, he rose out of the grave, conquering sin and death. And because of his resurrection, because he's alive today, just as we sang a moment ago, because he lives, we can trust him. And the Bible calls us to do just that. Trust him. Give our lives to him. He forgives us. He pours his mercy and his grace out on us. He takes our sin off of us. He gives us his righteousness. So one day when we stand before God, we're not covered in our own sin. We're covered in the righteousness of Jesus. He did all of that for us because he loves us. I've been thinking and praying about this Sunday. It's the last Sunday of 2020. What a year, right? In some ways, I was hoping I'd be a little bit more excited about 2021 than I am at this point, but here we are. And we've been looking at Christmas in the Word for the past 4 weeks, and so I've been going kind of like, all right, Lord, what do we do on this Sunday? And I don't know a better place to go than to look at the fact that not only did Jesus come, celebrate Christmas, but he's coming again. So we're looking at that today. We're not going to get into all the nitty-gritty and details. We're just going to look at what Paul told the church in Thessalonians and be encouraged this morning, okay? So you guys ready to do that? Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Jesus, we love you. We trust you. We believe your word is truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand your word. Help us to be encouraged by your word. It's been a long year, Lord. You know all the details of it. You know years are hard on this earth anyway, just with individual circumstances. But this year's been particularly hard. We are tired. We can feel it in this room this morning. And we're just tired. We're weary. And so, Lord, we just ask for encouragement from your word this morning. And, Lord, we pray for anyone that is listening, is with us, that doesn't trust you, doesn't believe you, doesn't believe your word. God, we don't believe they're listening or here by accident. So, Lord, we just pray that you would pique their interest right now. We pray that you would begin to open their eyes to the truth of your word right now. We pray that they would come to faith and repentance today. Lord, you are so good, so glorious. Our hope is all in you. So help us, Lord. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to your truth. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives today. Amen. All right. 4 weeks ago, we looked at John 1 before he came. 3 weeks ago, how Jesus came, Matthew 1. 2 weeks ago, when he came in Galatians 4, at just the right time. Last week, we just looked at the fact that he came. God came to us. And today, we look at the fact that he's coming again. We're going to look at three pieces of truth that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. We're going to pull three pieces of truth, and we're going to look at three reasons we can be encouraged by the truth in this passage today. So, some of you are newer Christians in the room today. Excited that you're here. Excited that you're part of our church family. We talk and have talked to you a lot about what Jesus has done for us. But sometimes we don't talk very much about what Jesus is doing next for us. Today we're talking about that. So hone in. Look at your copy of God's word and follow along with us today. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul's writing to a bunch of Christians that need to be encouraged. Verse 13, follow along with me. He says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." That's what we're going to do today. Verse 18, we're going to encourage one another with these words. First piece of truth. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to come in victory. Jesus will come again in victory. Look at what, just think of a church like us in the city of Thessalonica. I know you probably don't know where that is, but it was a city a long time ago and on the other side of the world. But it was a church just like us. They're struggling for probably several different reasons. And Paul says, "Hey, listen, I don't want you to be uninformed. So listen to what I'm about to tell you." He says this, look at verse 16. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. In verse 16, when he says, for the Lord, he's talking about Jesus. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven. What he's talking about right there is the fact that one day in the future, Jesus will come back to earth, and the way he will come is not be born into the world the way he was the first time through the Virgin Mary. He'll come this time differently. He'll appear in the air. He'll descend from heaven to the earth. Can you believe that? I mean, that's awesome. Jesus is coming back. And the way he's coming back, he's coming from heaven. He's going to descend to us from heaven. This is not the only place. Sometimes the Bible says some things and you're like, whoa, that is strange. And you go to flip through it and you're like, I got to figure out what that means. And it's hard to figure it out because the Bible may not say that anywhere else. But this is not one of those things. You might read this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and be like, is that really going to happen? Is Jesus really going to come down from the air again to us? And it's like, yes, it's all over the Word, all over the New Testament. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So right when Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he ascended to heaven. They watched him ascend. They watched him go up to heaven. Angel appears to those men who saw that. They're just standing there probably with jaws on the ground. They're like, pick up your jaws just so you know. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back the same way you saw him go. They saw him ascend to heaven. They tell him he's going to come back the same way. So he's going to descend back down to us. Crazy. But true. But true. Jesus is going to come in that way. Mark 13:26. It says, and then they will see the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Jesus. They will see the Son of Man in the clouds with great power and glory. So church, Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. He's going to appear there. He's going to come back. Amen? That's exciting, isn't it? We get to look forward to this. The church in Thessalonica got to look forward to this. We get to look forward to this. How is he going to come back? Verse 16. Look at it again. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. This is the idea that Jesus, this is the fact, not the idea, the fact that when Jesus appears in the air and he's coming again, when he does, he's going to come with all his power, all his authority. With a cry of command, he will descend back to us. First time he came lowly and humbly and meekly, born into this world as a baby, laid in an animal trough, a manger. No place for his parents to spend the night in Bethlehem. It's not the way he's going to return to us. Praise God he came that way the first time. But that's not the way he's coming the second time. He'll come in all his authority, all his power, with a voice of command. A cry of command. Verse 16, it also tells us, by the way, if you have a cry of command, you have people, beings under you. Jesus will have an army of angels with him. At his word, they will do whatever he says. It's a cry of command means he has subordinates. Verse 16 also says, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. So not only will he have an army of angels, but some of those angels will be higher ups, all under him, and they will be crying out, letting the world know that Jesus indeed is back. Not only that, but just as at this point in time in history, trumpets announced military arrivals, they announced other things, they announced victory. So just as then, so when Jesus returns, that will be the sound of a trumpet, but not just any trumpet, the trumpet of God. Picture this. When Jesus appears to us again, he'll appear in the sky with an army of angels at his command. Shout of an archangel and the call of a trumpet. And all the world will hear it. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, "And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Mark 8:38, Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Mark 13:26 and 27 says, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Jesus came the first time, meek and lowly. He's coming again, though, in power and glory. Church, he's coming again. Jesus is coming back. Came the first time to rescue. The second time he'll come to reveal his glory. First time he came to achieve victory. The second time he's coming to announce his victory. So this is massive that Jesus is coming back. Huge news that Jesus is coming back. So there's an important question we should ask. Why do we believe this? Paul reminds us, verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep." We believe that because Jesus was born in this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried 3 days in the tomb, and on the third day rose again and ascended to heaven. We believe that because that happened, when the Bible tells us that he's coming again, it makes sense. He did all of that for us. He would certainly come again to get us, those who he's saved. It'd be like spending a whole bunch of money on Christmas and then just not giving the presents to anybody. Of course, if you buy presents for someone, you're going to give them the gifts. Of course, if Jesus came to live a perfect life for us, die the death we deserved on the cross, resurrect from the dead, defeating death on our behalf, of course, he's going to come back and get us. It just makes sense. So it's not far-fetched for the Christian to believe that Jesus is coming back. It makes total sense to us because we believe he defeated death, ascended to heaven, is watching over us now in power and authority, and is coming back for us one day. Jesus will come again, and when he comes again, he'll come in power and victory and glory. So what will he do when he comes again? Tells us two things in this passage. First, when Jesus comes again, he will resurrect Christians who have died. So this is where this passage starts. Look at verse 13. It says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." What's he talking about? He's talking about those who have passed away. Sometimes the Bible refers to people who have died as being asleep. Jesus did it in the Gospels. Paul does it in a couple different places. He does it here. He says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, Christians, about those who have died, who have passed away." That's why he goes on to say in verse 13, "that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." So he's talking about death. death of loved ones, death of fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. And by the way, let's just check something here. Paul doesn't tell Christians not to grieve. We're supposed to grieve. Jesus grieved when his friend died, Lazarus. Even though he knew his friend was going to walk out of that grave soon, he still grieved. We grieve. Paul just tells us that Christians should grieve differently because of what Jesus is going to do when he comes back. So look at verse 16. It says he's going to return with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So Jesus is coming back in the sky, and when he does, the first thing he's going to do, he's going to announce his arrival. We're going to see him. We're going to hear the cry of an archangel. We're going to hear the trumpet of God. And then Jesus is going to resurrect every Christian, every person that's placed faith in him from the dead. Let me say it one more time. Jesus is going to come back. These aren't like deep theological truths. This is just what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back in the air. We will see him. We will hear him. And then he's going to raise everybody who's placed faith in him from the dead. Like, that's fact. He's going to do it. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 56 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. So, if this is your first encounter with this truth, you may have some questions like, that's going to be exciting, but it also be terrifying. And in a way, yes, but maybe not the way that's going through your mind. Because when Jesus raises the dead who know him, he's going to clothe them with immortality. He's going to give them new bodies right then and there. New bodies to never decay again. New bodies to never perish again. Immortal bodies. Imperishable bodies. So yes, bodies that have been ravaged by diseases, by accidents, by old age, he will raise again. And he will clothe them with immortality. Those people who have placed faith in him. So Paul will be up out of the grave. Peter will be up out of the grave. My Uncle Joe will be up out of the grave. My grandma will be up out of the grave. You got some people too, don't you? They'll be up out of the grave. When Jesus comes back, we'll see him, we'll hear him, and he will resurrect Christians who have died first. Now, that should leave you thinking, well, if that happens while I'm here, what about me? Like, I'm excited for my loved one. I'm going to grieve differently now for those who pass away that know Jesus before me. I'll grieve and be slightly jealous of them because they're going to go up and be with Jesus first. But what about me? You can ask that. What if Jesus comes back right now? It's going to be really exciting over on the east side of Cairo, I'll tell you that. But what about us? Mr. Wendell, Miss Patty's dad, spoke of this passage, and his wife passed away many years before he did. He's with the Lord now. But he said that if Jesus came back before he passed away, that he was going to grab his wife by the knees and just hang on. He looked forward to that day. Christians who know him, who have dwelt on this truth, in spite of their suffering, they look forward to this day in hope. Christians who have lost loved ones, who have dwelt on this truth, they look forward to this day in hope because their loved ones know him. Yes, they grieve the loss of loved ones, but they grieve with great comfort because they know their loved ones will be raised to new life one day. That's good news. But we got to keep going because we got to answer your question, what about the rest of us? Right? Hope you're curious about that if you don't already know. Verse 15, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, that's the rest of us, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So they're going to go first. Y'all still with me? Verse 17. Then we who are alive, that's us, at least for now. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. All right. Here's the order of events. You ready? Jesus is going to appear in the air. We will see him. We will hear him. He will resurrect all those who have placed faith in him from the dead, give them new bodies. He will gather them to himself in the air. What about us? Then he's going to get us. Read verse 17 one more time. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. That is amazing. And so we will always be with the Lord. Just slow down for a second. Again, this isn't deep theological truth. This is incredibly important theologically. But anybody can understand it. Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, he's going to come with an army of angels in all of his power, all of his glory. We will see him. We will hear him. He will gloriously and miraculously, supernaturally raise the dead who know him, who have placed faith in him, to new life and clothe them with immortality. And then after that, he will take everyone else who has placed faith in him and gather them to himself in the air. And from that point forward, all who have placed faith in him will be with him forevermore. Forever. This is why in verse 13 he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. In other words, we want you to know about this. About those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Perhaps you've lost somebody this year. Or perhaps this season brings grief again for someone you've lost in years past. And if they know the Lord, yes, grieve. But don't grieve as someone who has no hope for them. And then verse 18, he ends with this, encourage one another with these words. Do you know why Paul said that? Because these Christians were having a hard time. They had lost loved ones who were Christians. They weren't sure what was going to happen to them. They weren't sure what was going to happen to themselves or to their loved ones who they had lost to death. They just weren't sure. And Paul comes along in very plain words and says, look, don't be ignorant. You need to know this. This is what's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. You'll see him. You'll hear him. He'll get all those who know him, who have died before us. He'll gather them to himself. He's going to give them new bodies. Then he's going to get us. So encourage one another with this truth. Be encouraged. Church, at the end of this year, we need to take this truth and we need to bury it down deep in our hearts and our minds and reference it often and be encouraged for three reasons. One, the suffering of this present time is only temporary. It is only temporary. And in comparison with eternity, it's very short. But regardless of how deep the suffering is, how painful the suffering is, and how long it lasts in this life, it, according to God's word, it is temporary. Praise God. Jesus is coming back. And when he does, suffering's going to end. For those who know him. Number two, the Christian should be encouraged because for us, physical death is not the end. Particularly for us who are still living, right? We grieve those who have passed away. And for them that know the Lord, we can grieve with hope and joy. Because we know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to gather them first. Even with a tinge of like the good kind of jealousy. Like, man, they're going to get to go first. Physical death is not the end for the Christian. Number three, once Jesus comes again, we will always be with him. Verse 17 says, so we will always be with the Lord. Can you imagine? Like when you, Christian, when you see him, whether you're going about your daily life or you've just popped up out of the grave, when you see him next time, there won't be another day that you'll spend without him. Man. And without him in all of his power and glory and authority, combined with all of his love and mercy and grace for you. Such good news. Romans 8, 22 and 23 says this. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Christian, perhaps this year's been long, and your inward groaning has become louder. Know that that groaning is like the groaning of the pains of childbirth. It's leading to something glorious. Something so good that it'll make you forget all the bad that came with it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and we want to invite you to Jesus, to believe him, to trust him, and to follow him. And to look forward to his return with us. He's done all that needs to be done. All you need to do is to turn and trust him. Church, don't we have a lot to be thankful for even at the end of this year? And regardless of whether 2021 is the same, better, or worse, these words hold true. Praise God for that. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Dustin's going to come and lead us. Dustin, curveball, brother. First and last two of it as well. We're going to sing. If you have someone that you want to lift up this morning, just intercede for, feel free to bow in your pew or to come and use the altar and just intercede for whoever that is or whoever those are. If you want to just stand and praise God for the fact that he's coming again and that you have hope regardless of how bad it gets here and now, you can do that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, but you're ready to turn and trust Jesus, I'll be up here and you can do that today too. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us in the past in your son Jesus. And we thank you for all that you're going to do for us in the future at his return. We thank you that when we celebrate when he came the first time, we can look forward to when he comes the second time. Lord, help us to believe. Our world teaches us to believe only what we can see, only what we can know. It does not teach us to have faith. So Lord, teach us to have faith. Give us faith. Help us to believe these words in your word. That you indeed are coming again in power and glory. We will see you. We will hear you. You will raise up all those who have passed away with their faith in you. And then you will gather the rest to yourself. God, thank you for that truth. Help us to believe it. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand together.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea.